That's my Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 13, your Bible tonight. Nathaniel once said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And maybe you're thinking, "Can any good thing come out of Leviticus?" But it is just as much as God's word as John 3:16. Amen. And there's wonderful truth in all of the Word of God, if we'll take time to read it and study it and pray that God would lead us into that truth. Jesus, I believe, is on every page of this book. And I heard one guy, he was educated beyond his intelligence, and he said, you can't find Jesus in the Old Testament. To which I replied, I can't not find Jesus in the Old Testament. Amen. He's all through the Scripture. This book is about him. When he met with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, their eyes were holding. They didn't recognize him. But the Bible says he opened up and for Moses and all the prophets preached the things concerning himself. And it's all about him. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation and beyond, it's all about Jesus. Leviticus chapter 13, and I appreciate each one being here on a Monday evening, and I value your time. I know that you do, and so I'm going to try to be mindful of that, but we're going to be obedient to the Spirit of God as well, and I hope that you came to receive something from Him tonight, and so we're going to pray here in just a moment after we read the scripture, but if you found your place, I invite you to stand if you're able. Leviticus chapter 13. Good to see some friends, have some friends here tonight, and the Shelton family from over in the middle of nowhere. Martville, the thriving metropolis of Martville. And good to have the Morey family here tonight, dear friends of ours. And the Moreys are missionaries of ours. We thank God for their ministry in the prisons. And God's really using them. God's got his hand on this family. And thank God for them being here in the service tonight. And it's good to meet a brother of a good friend of mine, Brother Gary Parrott, Brother Ken Parrott, his brother. We pastored not too far from each other up in Nova Scotia. Brother Ken was on my ordination council. And so it's good to meet you, brother, and appreciate your brother's ministry and influence in my life. Leviticus chapter 13, we're going to begin reading in verse number 45. Leviticus 13, beginning in verse number 45. The Bible says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof, of linen or of woolen, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin, and if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof, in any or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy and shall be showed unto the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on the 7th day. If the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in a skin, or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean." I want us to look at this leprous garment and this leprous man tonight from Leviticus chapter 13. And let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us as we look at His Word together. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. We're so thankful for Your blessings upon us. We're thankful for Your love for us. We're thankful for this book. It is the book of books. There's none other like it. It is the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And Father, I pray that tonight the Word would have its proper place in our hearts. May it be the good seed falling upon good ground as we hear the Word of God tonight. God, we pray for the power and unction of Your Spirit. Dear God, we sing the song, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down." And Lord, we know that to be true, that without You we can do nothing. And so God, we pray for Your power, pray for Your filling, not only for me as I preach Your Word, but Lord, for each one who's listening, may they be Spirit-filled listeners. Lord, maybe someone's here tonight and they're unsaved, they're without Christ. Lord, I pray that You would speak to their heart tonight, draw them by Your Spirit, save them by Your grace. Lord, may they turn to You and willingly trust Jesus Christ tonight as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, God, deal with our hearts. Those of us who are saved, Lord, we still need You to work in our hearts. We still need You to deal with our lives. And God, there may be things in our life tonight like a leprosy. And God, we pray that You would reveal to us our condition. Lord, help us to accept it. Help us to deal with it according to Your Word. And God, I pray that we'd just be open. We'd be like the psalmist. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Dear God, may that be our heart's cry tonight. We'll thank You and praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14, we find the laws regarding leprosy. Leprosy was an awful, loathsome, terrifying disease. It was common in these days, and it was a disease that would just eat away at you, eat away at the flesh, and just continue to eat away until it hit an organ, and it would eat that, and finally you'd perish from it. It was an awful disease. It was the one thing that most people feared. Maybe in our culture, in our day, we could compare it to the word cancer. If you ever heard the word cancer, the fear that goes through your heart, if you hear those words, or a family member hears those words, cancer, in those days, if they heard the word leprosy, it would bring about that same fear, that same dread, that same uneasiness. And so the Lord has some laws regarding the how to deal with this sickness, this disease of leprosy. They had no known cure for leprosy. And so in this chapter, we read and we see in verse 45 that when someone was leprous, the Bible says that they would have to put a covering upon their upper lip. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And they'd have to cry, "Unclean, unclean." Except in these days, they did it when you were sick. So they would have to go about crying, "Unclean." The reason being because this could be contracted. It could be passed from one person to the other. And they would, the Bible says in verse 46, that all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. They would have to be put out of the camp, out of society, out of the city. After they got settled in the land of promise, they had colonies, we call them leper colonies, that they would have to go to and live in and live out the rest of their days. Listen, it didn't matter if they were married, had children. They had to leave home, they had to leave their spouse, they had to leave their children, and they had to live alone away from their family, away from their loved ones, their only companions being others who are inflicted by this awful disease. It was a dreaded disease. It was a feared disease. And throughout Scripture, when you see leprosy, we understand that it stands as a type of sin. The fact of the matter is, sin is a sickness. It's not a sickness of the body, although it will affect the body, but it's a sickness of the spirit. And sin also makes us unclean. Sin separates us from our loved ones. And if we don't get the sin problem taken care of, we will spend forever away from the ones who love us the most, including our God. There's three words I want us to think about when we think of this passage, and I want to highlight in the time that we have tonight. The first word is the word infection. Infection. As I mentioned, leprosy was a very infectious disease. It could be transferred from person to person, and in the context here, we see that it transferred from a person to their clothes. Leprosy is mentioned. If we read the entire chapter, we'd see leprosy getting inside of a house, in the walls of a house. It could get in their cooking utensils. It could get in their clothes. It infected every area of their lives. You couldn't stop it. Once it started growing, it starts spreading, and there was nothing known to stop it. It would influence every part of their lives, at home, away from home, on the job, even in their wardrobe. Everything was infected by this leprosy. You know what? Sin is much like that. You cannot keep sin contained. Listen, you may think that you're hiding your sin or you're covering your sin, but it will come about. Be sure your sin will find you out. You can't hide it forever. He talks about this garment being infected with leprosy. I think about Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden. You know the story, Adam and Eve, the first of the crowning jewel of God's creation. He made Adam from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He had the very breath of God in his lungs. Man became a living soul. He saw it wasn't good for man to be alone. Ladies, can you say amen right there? It's not good for the housework, is it? Man to be alone. It's not good for the kids for man to be alone. Amen? And so God said, I'll make him a helpmeet. And so he created Eve. He put Adam to sleep. A deep sleep fell upon him. And we still sleep deeply, don't we, gentlemen? God reached down in there, he removed a rib from Adam, and from that rib he fashioned the woman, and he woke Adam up. He said, hey, look what I made. And he woke up and he said, whoa, man. Amen. That'll preach, won't it? God brought them together. They lived in a perfect environment. Amen. They had everything going for them. He put them in a beautiful garden. And he left them there to dress it and to keep it. And in the evening, God would come down and walk with them in the cool of the evening. Until one day, the serpent came along. And the serpent tempted Eve. And the serpent got Eve to focus on what she couldn't have instead of what she did have. If you look at that, this is not part of the message, but it's a good one. If you look at that, God, when the Bible says God made Adam, he put him in that garden, he said the tree of life was in the midst of the garden. Genesis 2:7 and 8. Yet when you hear Eve talking to the serpent, she says, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is in the midst of the garden. Now, in all likelihood, they were side by side. But from God's viewpoint, the tree of life was the central part of their existence. From Eve's viewpoint, what she couldn't have was the central part of her existence. Everything revolved around what she couldn't have. Listen, young people, don't get caught up with the things that you can't have. It'll lead you astray. You'll get in trouble. So she gave in to that temptation. The Bible says she partook of that fruit that she was forbidden to partake of, and she gave to her husband with her. And the Bible says that they fell into sin. And what's the first thing they do? Well, you know, when God created them, they were created in innocence, and so they were naked, the Bible says, both of them in the garden, and they were not ashamed. And yet the first thing that occurs to them after they sin is the fact that they're naked. They're uncovered. And they feel automatically the guilt of that nakedness. Why? Because of sin. The knowledge of good and evil. And so they go about trying to cover their nakedness. They get fig leaves and they sew them together. I wonder what they use for string. Ever thought about that? I never did until right now. I don't know what they use, but they sewed fig leaves together to try to cover their nakedness. How'd that work? Didn't work. God still saw them. God still understood. And when God came down to visit with them, even though they had their nakedness covered, what did they do? They hid. Must be it wasn't sufficient. It must be that their own works were not sufficient to take care of the guilt of that sin. They may have thought that they were hiding from God and hiding their sin from God. It didn't work for them, and it will not work for you. Turn with me in the book of Hebrews. Keep your place in Leviticus. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. We often quote Hebrews 4 and verse 12, and it's a great verse. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that amazing? The Word of God knows what you think. Wow. It knows why you think it. Your intents. Your intentions. God knows. You think you're hiding it, but you're not. God knows. Look at verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. What does that mean? With Him with whom we have to do. That means you're going to have to answer to Him. And you may be hiding it from your spouse. You may be hiding it from your children. You may be hiding it from your parents. You may be hiding it from the pastor or the evangelist or your friends. But my friend, you are not hiding it from God. He sees right through your covering. He understands why you're doing what you're doing, when you're doing it, and He understands that you need to stop. Amen? We need to understand that. Sin is like an infection, and they may have tried to cover it up. I picture this man in Leviticus chapter 13. He sees this spot on his body. And the fear ripples through his heart and through his mind. But he's ashamed of it. And so he says, well, I'll just make sure that I've got my clothes covering that spot. Nobody will know. The problem is it doesn't stay in that spot. it spreads and it grows and it infects and it infests everything around it, even his garment. Starts getting filled with that leprosy. You see, what's on the inside will come out. It will come out. Garments throughout Scripture represents our works or our testimony. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says this, "We are all as an unclean thing." Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Remember, he had to cover his mouth and say, "Unclean, unclean." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You can try to cover that sin, but it's going to leach through and it's going to show up. Not only will God see, but others will see. You cannot hide your sin. Why? Because of the infection. It takes over. The second thing I want us to look at in this passage, not only infection, but this word I want us to think of, intersection. So what does that mean? Well, let's go back to Leviticus 13 and look at the passage. Bring me that water, please. Send Isaac. Leviticus chapter 13. Look what it says about this garment. Thank you, sweetie. In verse number 47. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The first time I read this, I thought, what does a time machine and a bark have to do with leprosy? Warp? Is that like a time warp? Or maybe it's a southern whipping, you know? I don't know. Warp or woof? What does that mean? I had to look it up. This is what I found out. In a garment, you know that a garment is made up of threads. And in a woven garment that is talking about here, the warp is the threads that are going vertically in the garment. The woof are the threads that go horizontally. They tie together those vertical threads. And so when you've got it all tied together, you've got a strong fabric that will hold up. It's what makes a garment a garment. Without this warp and woof, they're just individual threads not tied together. And what he's saying here is you've got to examine this garment. If there's leprosy in this garment, it doesn't matter whether it's in these threads or these threads, it still has to be dealt with. You know, as I got to thinking about the warp and the woof, I got to thinking about our relationships in life. We should have, if you're saved, you've got a vertical relationship with God. I'm thankful that when I got born again, that I entered into a divine relationship with Almighty God. What does that mean? Well, among other things, it means that I can talk to Him at any time. That as a New Testament believer, I have access to God by faith at any time. I can talk to Him and He can talk with me. A big part of us being in church and having prayer time is this communication. We call it fellowship with God. And he says, if you've got some some leprosy in that warp. You need to get it taken care of. You know, people can get a leprous attitude toward God. They can get a leprous spirit toward God. They can get bitter. They can get unthankful. That's a big one in these days. You know, the Bible lists unthankful in the list of all the terrible things that we're going to see in the last days, the perilous times. One of the things is unthankful. Another one is disobedient to parents. May not seem like a big deal. It's a big deal to God. You can have a leprosy enter into your relationship with you and God. Now, maybe it's something that so far has not infected anyone else. Maybe it's a secret sin that you have in your heart and nobody else even knows about it right now. Listen, if you've got an infection between you and God, let me assure you tonight, it's only a matter of time before it goes this way too. Please, please hear this. You cannot get out of fellowship with God and not infect the relationships that you have in this life. Dads, you cannot get out of fellowship with God. You cannot have a leprosy festering in your heart between you and God and it not affect your family. Moms, you cannot let that go on and it not affect your home and your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors, your church. I think about Achan. When Achan took of the accursed thing, nobody else knew about it except him and his family. But God knew. He sinned against God. He didn't steal it from anybody else. But he stole it from God. And because he wasn't right with God, as a result, 32 men died in battle who were not guilty. They didn't have a hand in stealing the thing that belonged to God. But because Achan got out of sorts with God, because Achan disobeyed the Lord, he allowed a leprosy to get in his vertical relationship. It affected the horizontal relationships. Listen, friends, until we get serious about dealing with sin, we will never see revival. We'll not see the next generation rise up and take our place and carry on the work of the gospel. We have to get rid of the sin. You say, well, nobody else knows about it. You can't hide it. So I'm doing pretty good so far. Nobody knows. It's a leprosy. It's going to leak through. It's going to show up. It's going to infect. How many young people follow in the sins of their parents? And all the while they're growing up, they say, I'm never going to be like that. I'm never going to be like that. And they end up in that same lifestyle. Why? Because that sin infected them. There's an intersection. I'm saying this relationship is tied to these relationships. And these relationships are tied to this relationship. How many Christians have this attitude? Well, you know, I don't get along with that brother, but I'm still walking with God. I don't have any use for her, but I still love Jesus. You're a liar. Amen. Now you can pack up your marbles, go home, don't come back tomorrow. But it's the truth. It's the truth. You cannot love God and hate your neighbor. If you don't love the brethren, you do not love God. It doesn't say you only have to love the brethren that you agree with. Well, yeah, I mean, Yeah, we're of the same mind, so I love him, love her, but I disagree with him, so I don't love them. That's not, there's no exception clause in loving the brethren. Well, listen, you have your beliefs and you have your doctrinal position. Don't give those up for anybody. But we're still required to love the brethren. Listen, if you've got fault and ought between someone in this church, you're sitting over here and they're sitting over there and never the twain shall meet. Because she said that, or he looked that way, or I heard in the grapevine. This relationship is infected, and you can mark it down, it's affecting this relationship. You don't have to agree with everybody, but you ought to love them. You know what the Bible says? If you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. Now, you can try to dispensationalize that away all you want, but it's in the book. Amen. God doesn't change. We've got to have a right relationship with God if we're going to have a right relationship with one another. And we've got to have a right relationship with one another if we're going to have a right relationship with God. I'm saying the leprosy doesn't pick and choose. The leprosy infects everything. I feel like I'm hitting a stump. This last word I want us to look at, not only infection, not only this intersection, but the last word I want us to look at is inspection. Look again in verse number 49. Believe it or not, I preached this at a Valentine's banquet one year. When I was pastoring. Just wanted it to be real, amen? Verse 49, let's get through this verse again. If the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment, or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy. Look at this last phrase. And shall be showed unto the priest. Maybe you're saying, preacher, you're right. God's dealt with me. I know that there's a leprous thing in my life, in my heart. Maybe it's a sin of the spirit. Maybe it's a sin of the flesh. But God's dealt with me. What do I do about it? What do I do about it? Now, you could come to me and you could say, here it is. I hope you don't, because I don't really want to know. But here's the good thing. I don't need to know. You could take it to the preacher. And maybe you need to. Maybe you need help understanding how to get this dealt with. But you know what? I know what he's going to say to you. Have you taken it to the Lord? Because as much as I would like to cleanse you of your leprosy, as much as he would like to cleanse you of your leprosy, and anyone else in here, we would like to do that for you, we can't do that. That is beyond our power. We can't do that. Remember, leprosy was incurable. Out of our hands. Nothing we can do about it. Except try to comfort you. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. You can come to me and say, just dump out your house. This is what's going on. This is what's going on. And I'll try to empathize with you, and I'll try to pray with you, and I'll try to help you. But at the end of the day, you need to take it to the Lord and say, God, I've got this leprosy in me. Would you help me? You know, Leviticus chapter 14 is the law regarding the cleansed leper. I want you to think about this. There were some lepers cleansed in the Old Testament, but none of them were Jews. So this law that was written in Leviticus 14, they never used, far as we know, until a man named Jesus showed up on the scene. And Jesus went about doing good. He was doing things that nobody had ever done before. He was saying things that nobody had ever said before. They said, no man ever spake like this man. No one's ever done what he's done. He calmed the seas. And they said, what manner of man is this? There's nobody like him. One of the things that he did on numerous occasions is he cleansed the lepers. What do I do, preacher? I've got a heart full of leprosy. There's bitterness and envy in there. There's unforgiveness in there. There's lust and pride. And there's vices in my life. And I try to stop. And I can't stop. And I keep going back to them. And I come down the altar. And I say, God, deliver me. And then I go right back. What am I supposed to do? Bring it to the priest. The high priest, Jesus Christ. Lay it at his feet and say, Lord, I'm leprous, I'm dirty, but I believe that you can make me whole. I believe that you can touch me and change me. That's what he says in Leviticus 14, verse 2. This shall be the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest. You know what? There's some things that happen in life. And you don't just flip a switch and go on and never think about it again. There's wrongs that are committed to you and wrongs that are committed by you. And they're serious and they're grievous and they have long-lasting results. And you've been to so-and-so and you've been to this one and that one and nobody can help you. You leave feeling worse than what you came. Can I say, there is one who can help you. And he wants to help you. And there's no charge. He's already paid the price. If you're here tonight and you're unsaved, and you understand that you're a sinner who is guilty before God, those things I was talking about a while back, those sins, you know you're guilty of them. You know you've committed them. Can I tell you something? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know what that means? God just can't say, oh, well, don't worry about it. You can't say that. I can't say that. Nobody can say that. The wages of sin is death. Death has to be the payment for sin. You're a sinner and you deserve death. Remember that man, Jesus, that we talked about? He came into the world to save sinners. He died on the cross. He paid the death penalty. He received the wages of your sin and my sin and the sins of the whole world when he died on the cross of Calvary. You know what you need to do? You need to trust him. You need to trust that the payment that he paid for your sins was enough. You need to believe he died on the cross and that he rose again. Place your faith and trust in him. He'll save you tonight. Amen. Not only will you no longer be on the hook for your sin, but you will have divine forgiveness. I love that word, forgiveness. It's something you don't earn. You just receive. It's a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're lost here tonight, you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, you know you're guilty of sin, Jesus Christ can save you tonight. Cleanse you of all that sin and give you new life. A Christian, believer, has the Lord revealed something in your heart tonight, in your life tonight? You think you have it hidden. You think nobody sees it. But tonight you understand God sees it. And maybe you just feel like giving up. You've tried and tried and you feel like, I'll never conquer this. Can I encourage you tonight? Bring it to the priest. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to him. Be honest. No more covering up. Just come to the Lord and say, Lord, here's my problem. Listen, he knows about it already. He asked Adam, where art thou? He knew exactly where he was. But tonight God's shown you where you are. Not only does he know where you are, but you know where you are. Why don't you just bring it to him tonight? You know what? When they went to see the priest, they said, I got this leprosy. You think the priest berated them for being a leper? Well, you can't believe you'd get leprosy. The Lord's not going to upbraid you. He's going to receive you, and he's going to cleanse you, and he's going to change you. Don't you want to be different? Don't you want to be free from that sin? Don't you want to be free from the guilt of that sin? Don't you want to have this relationship restored and these relationships restored? There's only one way to do that. You got to bring it to him. Come clean. Be honest. Hide nothing. And watch the Lord do what nobody else can do. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for your power. That what you promise, you can deliver. And Lord, whatever the need is in any heart, in every heart here tonight, I pray tonight that they just bring it to you. Just bring it all to him. Our sorrows, disappointments, our sin, our bitterness, anger, lust, pride, vice. Just let you deliver us, heal us, restore us, cleanse us. In Jesus' name I pray. Their heads bowed and eyes closed. Won't you come? Let's stand together. Come down to this altar. You know God's dealt with you. Don't put it off. Don't worry about what